This podcast is supported by Indeed.com, helping you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. Receive a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/yourmoney. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, March 18th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Financial experts say you should put away 10 to 15% of your annual salary to save for retirement. But for a lot of us who lost a job or whose finances were upended by the pandemic last year, putting that kind of money aside was nearly impossible. It may seem like a steep hill to climb to get your retirement savings back on track, but it can be done.
There are some fairly easy strategies, or at least simple strategies, to implement that you might think about implementing when you're able to return to work and think about saving again.
Our retirement reporter Ann Turgeson has been running the numbers, and coming up, she'll share some of those strategies for catching up on missed retirement payments. That's after the break.
This podcast is supported by Indeed.com, helping you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. Receive a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/yourmoney. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot of people's retirement savings plans got derailed last year, but temporary interruptions in building a nest egg are actually pretty common. So how can savers get back on track? Our retirement reporter, Ann Turgeson, joins us with some ideas. Ann, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
So, you know, a lot of people are facing a gap in employment because of the pandemic, but even aside from that, there are plenty of other reasons people might take a break from work and pause their retirement savings.
Yeah, so I mean, this model of like, you know, you start working at 22 and you consistently work until you're 65 is pretty unrealistic. A lot of people take time off to go back to school, take time off to get further job training. Some people want to switch careers and take a little while off in between to figure out how to best approach that. A lot of people take time off to raise children or to take care of older relatives. So there's a huge number of reasons why people take time off from the workforce.
Now, experts you spoke with say that if someone has to suspend retirement saving, it might not be as big of a problem as it sounds. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, it kind of depends on a number of factors. I mean, interestingly, I had, you know, some people run numbers for me, and the price that you pay as you get older declines. And the main reason for that is because when you make contributions when you're older, maybe in your 50s or 60s, there's less time for the money to compound and grow over time. There's a bigger cost to taking time away from saving when you're younger because you're giving up years of potential growth on each dollar that you don't save. But, you know, it's not necessarily the end of the world. I had numbers run looking at people who took like a 3-year hiatus from work, and 3 years sounds like something that would, you know, cause people to be very concerned about their retirement finances. But at least for a 50-year-old person, using some of the numbers that I ran, it looks like the cost of a 3-year gap would be somewhere on the order of about 10% reduction in final nest egg, which, you know, to me seemed not necessarily like nothing, but it's not a huge reason to panic.
So let's say someone's going to be taking a break from work. Are there ways of making it so they don't fall too far behind?
I mean, for some people, you know, even if they are taking a break from work, if they're part of a couple, there might be enough income in the household for them to do some savings. And I think a lot of people don't realize it, but there is an opportunity for people to save who don't actually have income from work through something called a spousal IRA. So just like that sounds, it means that, you know, if I take, you know, a couple years off from work to raise children, but, you know, I'm married and my partner continues to work, then he can put money into what's called a spousal IRA on my behalf. So I can continue to save even though I don't have income from work, which is, you know, generally a prerequisite for using like an IRA and obviously for a 401k. So there are opportunities for people who are taking time off from work to continue saving if somebody else in the household has earned income. But for most people, I think that probably the more palatable option is to plan to catch catch up later, especially people who, you know, by virtue of having either, you know, reduced income, no income, you know, it just savings becomes a very stressful thought.
Okay, so walk us through some strategies for saving back up again after a pause.
So if you can't save now, there are some fairly easy strategies, or at least simple strategies, to implement that you might think about implementing when you're able to return to work and think about saving again. One is to save at least 50% of your future raises. So that actually has a couple benefits, but it's one way to catch up. And, you know, the closer you are to retirement, the higher that percentage should be. Another is to kind of double down on savings when kids leave home. Often when kids, you know, are kind of off the payroll, so to speak, parents free up a lot of money that they used to spend on their children. I think it's very tempting for people to, you know, sort of renovate a bathroom or a kitchen or whatever. But if instead you plow that money into savings, it's a way to catch up and potentially kind of quickly. Another way to catch up is to postpone retirement. And, you know, that's not necessarily possible for everybody given layoffs, but even a part-time job that you have, even for just a couple of years, can have a benefit of giving you cash to make ends meet, to live on, and either reducing the amount you have to take from your retirement account or even causing you to not have to take anything from your retirement account, which is helpful. And another big thing that does is it allows people to ideally postpone claiming Social Security, which is a very attractive strategy. The longer you can wait to claim Social Security, the bigger your benefit is going to be.
You know, Anne, we often hear from you and other members of our personal finance team about not only the importance of saving for retirement, but also putting money aside for emergencies. Is there a way to do both?
Yeah, so for people who are in a position now where even if they have left a job where there's some income in the household and they may be in a position to potentially put away a little bit of savings, one way to kind of hedge your bets is to put money into a Roth IRA, because that's, you know, that's an IRA, it's a retirement account, it allows for tax-free growth of the money, which is very attractive from a retirement perspective. But the good thing about a Roth IRA is because you're putting in after-tax money, you're allowed to take your contributions out at any time without paying any tax or without paying any penalty. So that in effect, that a Roth IRA could do double duty as sort of, well, here's money that I'm putting in for retirement, but if I happen to need it for an emergency, I can take out the contributions without any tax or penalty.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal retirement reporter Anne Turgeson. Anne, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.